Get up, superstar. It's time to shine.
Here's to the fierce queens, the delusional dreamer, the one who thinks she's all that because she marches to the beat of her own drum. She's not afraid to embrace her flaws, and she finds power in using failure as fuel for evolution. Defying the limits imposed by perfectionism and imposter syndrome, she faces her fears with full confidence in God, because the one who put her here also called her to have dominion here. My name is Barbara Moahi, your online bestie and chair executive officer. Join me and women across the world who refuse to let fear keep them from their wildest dreams. This is Boldly Becoming.
Hey girl, so today I've come to set you free. We are going to be talking about becoming the prize, saying goodbye to people pleasing, and really liberating ourselves to live our authentic and real life. I cannot even begin to explain to you how difficult it is being a people pleaser. Like, in your heart, you know what you want to say. In your heart, you know how you really feel about a situation. But because you want to be respectful of everyone's boundaries, you want to be respectful of everyone's opinions and values, you sort of end up compromising yourself in the process. I found as I was grappling with this idea of people pleasing and overcoming it, I always wanted to make sure that everyone around me was fine and I didn't mind being the loser in the situation always. But what I found is it affected more than just my relationships. Like, beyond trying to be the friend who's always understanding or the person who is always the bigger one when it comes to disagreement and I take the high road always, people pleasing expands beyond your relationships in the sense that how you are in one area of your life is how you'll be in most areas of your life. So when I made big decisions, I would consider how my big decisions would look to other people. How would they interpret that, and how would they see me differently based on the fact that I've now decided to walk a certain path? The same would apply to when I had to purchase something. It's not about do I like the shoe, but it's about is this shoe what popular culture says is fashionable? Will I be scrutinized for wanting to wear a Cavella when really my heart's desire is to wear Cavella? And my heart's desire is not to wear because Cavella, y'all be safe. Y'all be safe. If that's your heart's desire, go ahead, girl. You know, wear that Cavella. Be great. But this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the compromising of yourself and your values for the sake of world peace and for the sake of pleasing people outside of you. And I think it goes without saying that this conversation is very nuanced in the sense that there are a whole lot of things that come into play when it's time to make major life decisions, like consulting God, your community, and the people who hold you accountable. And so notice that when I'm speaking about people pleasing, I'm not speaking about the act of consulting for wisdom. When I talk about people pleasing, I'm referring to the idea that the things that you are doing are for perception and being perceived as perfect, being perceived as, you know, agreeable. But that's not really how, it's not really who you are, because it's just someone's perception of you. So you are, in essence, trying to create a false image of who you are in order for the next person to accept you. And it's not even your fault. It's not like something that makes you a bad person or an evil person. It's just a human need that every single one of us have. Every single one of us want to feel like we belong in spaces. Every single one of us want to feel valued. Every single one of us don't want to step into rooms and feel like we are being tolerated by the people in those rooms. And so it's natural that you would be inclined to changing certain habits and changing certain aspects of yourself in order to get the job or in order to be a friend in that specific circle of people, or even in order to date a certain girl or date a certain guy. But what you find in that process is that it's exhausting. People pleasing is exhausting. And more than it being exhausting because you have to constantly keep up with the different versions of yourself that you are to different people, It's exhausting because you betray yourself daily, you suppress your emotions daily, and I think these are the things that lead to overthinking and perfectionism being cripples from you taking action on the dreams that you have and you being the best version of yourself, because you've taught yourself not to trust yourself. You've taught yourself to walk away from your gut feeling. You've taught yourself to ignore your opinions because you have consistently placed the opinions and values of other people above your own. And so when I speak about setting you free today, I really want to walk you through three key points and takeaways that I found helped me overcome that idea of people pleasing. And I think as the years have gone by and I've become a lot more assertive in the way that I communicate my needs, and I have become a lot more trusting of my intuition and my feelings, honoring myself, honoring what I believe the Holy Spirit, or as some people would call it, intuition, is guiding me to do, I found that even the way that the relationships in my life operate has changed. And the way that my family treats me, the way that my friends treat me, the way that, you know, people that I interact with, whether it's in the workspace, at school, wherever it is, has completely changed. Because there's a level of respect that comes from people outside of you when they step into getting to know you and then realize that, oh, this person is not going to take the bare minimum. Like, this person is not going to take anything that I throw at her. And I think self-awareness plays a critical role on this whole idea of becoming the prize, simply because, and I think you would know this, and this is something that I really hate. I have to say it. I hate this with my entire heart. When I'm scrolling on social media or TikTok and people kind of are shaming or putting down others for being the main characters of their lives. And I think the common connotation of somebody who is assertive and someone who is the quote unquote main character of their life is that this person is arrogant. But my question to you becomes, if you are saying being the main character of your life is arrogance, and I think we've spoken and explored this idea of main characterism in one of the previous episodes, but if I'm not the main character of my life, who is? If I'm not the person dictating the actions that I take, and if I'm not the person dictating my next steps and how those align to the direction that I'm trying to go to, who makes those decisions for me? Who is supposed to determine the direction that my life goes in? And this is not disregarding the presence of God in my life, because I believe every single step that I take is a step that I've gone to God about and I've asked God about. I never make decisions without consulting God. I never move a certain direction without asking God to guide me. And so if God is my guide and I have a community of people who are holding me accountable to the decisions that I'm making, then why do you have an issue with me being the main character of my life? How is that a sign of arrogance if I still am submitted to a community that holds me accountable? But anyway, I'm getting into like a whole lot of different politics, but I just wanted to stop right there and affirm someone who is afraid of making decisions just because people are shaming you into the idea that it's not good and it's arrogant if you make decisions for yourself, that God has given us all free will, right? But also God is the author of our steps. The Bible literally says that God orders the steps of a righteous man. And so for as long as you are depending on God, for as long as you are praying about your every decision, I don't think that anyone should make you feel bad about the decisions that you're making. And as we've progressed, like I was saying before, I completely got distracted, is that my relationships, and particularly let's start at home in my family, has completely changed because of this whole idea of trying to live my life intentionally so that I don't wake up 50 years from now and I'm shocked at where I'm at, unhappy and unfulfilled and feeling like the gifts that God has given me have gone to waste because I was just pleasing people, and have only now 50 years later woken up to the idea that my life is my own. The people I was trying to please have moved on. They're happy with their lives, and I'm stuck with the consequences of actions that I took to seem like a perfect idea to someone in a season of their life. And people are always changing. So if you're doing this, I know this sounds very hard. I feel like I'm being so harsh right now, but I think it's something that I wish someone was very candid with me about. And that's why I'm being so candid with you, is that if that's how you live your life and if that's how you constantly move, then regret is going to be your baby to grow and feed. And the people who you were trying to please will have babies of happiness, babies of fulfillment. And it's just going to be sad because, like, what now? You know, and not to say that the situation isn't redeemable, because I don't think anyone is too far gone to be able to pull back into a life of fulfillment. But what I am saying is it's better to stop it now before it gets to that point of regret. Rather, start building an intentional life now than find yourself 50 down the line, you know, living a life of regret. And so with my family in particular, I remember in like this past year, because I only started fully, I think, living in my true authenticity in 2021/2022, which is pretty far. Thank you. That, like, 22 years of my life of just like saying yes and keeping my head down. And my family would always make this joke, and they kind of like call me the princess of the family. And princess in the sense that I am very much aware of my worth, and I'm not afraid to walk away if I feel like a situation doesn't serve me. So something my cousin and my siblings will always say is like, Barbara is the prize. Like, Barbara Akirena, she can walk away from a job because she's the prize. Barbara can turn down a campaign because she believes she's the prize. Barbara can walk away from a friendship. Even I think the one that irritates them the most is like, Barbara can walk away from a relationship simply because she feels like she is the prize and it's not serving her. And this is not to say that I lack self-awareness or I lack accountability, so I just walk away from people because it's either you take my way or the highway. There definitely is always room for compromise, especially when you are in a healthy relationship or healthy friendship. There should always be a balance between my needs versus the other person's needs and what I believe to be true versus what you believe to be true, because ultimately people are different. We all come from different backgrounds. So my idea of a good woman is not the same idea that the person next door to me will have of what a good woman is. I might think the idea of being a good woman or a good wife is someone who cooks, someone who takes care of the kids, but someone else's idea of what a good woman would be in character and not necessarily in what she can do. Someone who is honest, someone who is patient, you know? And so there needs to be sort of a common ground and a willingness to find common ground when you're in relationship with other people. But when it comes to your life and how you choose to lead it, there are certain things that you should be able to say, okay, I am not willing to compromise on A, B, C, which brings me to the first point of this entire conversation, and that is setting your standards. So I told you about the story of how, like, my family started off making fun of me saying, I get it, she's the prize always. She's the prize always. So she walks away. She can walk away any day, anytime, to having evolved 2 years later to now being the mediator in those situations of their lives where they feel like, okay, this is a major decision that I want to make. This is what I think is the right decision, but this is what I know looks like the right decision. Barbara, can you help me determine whether I am being unrealistic or if I am gaslighting myself into believing that I'm being unrealistic simply because that's the standard that society has placed? Because the thing with setting your own standards is that if you don't set your own standards for how you want people to treat you, for how you want to be addressed in the workplace, what you think the value of your work is. I can give you a quick example is in the influencer industry, there are no standards in terms of, or set standards at least in terms of what people are supposed to earn. Like having 10,000 followers doesn't automatically mean you get 10,000 rand per video. Having 100,000 followers doesn't automatically mean you get 100,000 rand per video. And as I have conversations with different people in the influencer industry, I find that there are people who have 50,000, you know, followers that charge 2,000 rand for a post versus people who have 10,000 followers that charge 50,000 for a post. And I'm so grateful that I have a circle of friends and the people that I'm connected to are transparent enough to walk their journeys with me and open them up to me. But the difference between what one person is paid in our industry to the next person is the value that they've set on themselves, their work, and the standard of excellence that they hold themselves to. And I remember coming back from this essay and looking at my rate card, and just after all of those conversations and workshops that we did at Miss South Africa, I came back 10 times more the prize than I thought I was when I went into Miss South Africa. Like, I think that experience made me recognize how much of the prize I am 10 times worse than I did when I walked into it. And so I came back and I was looking at like my content and just the level of production with the team that I was working with, Palesa and Kulufelo and everyone else who was involved in my Miss South Africa campaign, to then realize that actually what I've been charging is a big undervaluement of what I think I deserve. The time, the energy, the expertise that goes into crafting those beautiful reels that everyone was gagging about deserves to be valued at a certain number. And if you're not willing to meet me at this number, then maybe you're not the right client for me. And I remember the first client that came to me after Miss South Africa, I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a shot because this is what I believe I'm worth. This is what I believe my work is worth. And I went from charging a single digit for a reel to a double digit. So I was like, I'm not going to charge you this single thousand. I'm going to charge you a double thousand. And I put up this new rate card, despite the ideas that some of the people in my space had of their worth. And I said, this is how much I charge. What are you saying? And they were like, okay, cool. We'll send you your money by the end of the day. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. And they sent me the money by the end of the day. And then I was like, okay, maybe I got lucky. So I started gaslighting myself a little. I was like, okay, maybe I got lucky with the standard that I set for myself. And then the next client came along and they were like, hey, how much do you charge? We want to work with you. And I gave them my rate card and they were like, okay, perfect. We'll have the money to you by the end of the week. I was like, oh. So there are people that are willing to pay that. And even in that same breath, there were certain brands where they came and they were like, hey, we'd love to work with you. And I was like, cool, here are my rates. And mind you, I'm giving them my rates after having seen two people be able to match my rate without fuss, without negotiation, without questioning it. And then they go, oh, no, well, we aren't it. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, if you're not sure about that, then let's try and find a compromise. And I remember, let me be very honest with you. I'm going to be very transparent. They came back and they were like, we can only offer you like 25% of your rate. And I remember it wasn't even like a direct conversation that they had with me. It was more like a send to all, because there were a number of us on the campaign and they were like, hi, everyone. Like, thanks so much, all of you, for your rates. But this is how much we're giving. Take it or leave it. And I remember I went back to them. I was like, listen, this amount is a little crazy. Can we bump it up to this amount? Which still was way below my rate and what I was charging. I think it was probably like 40%. So I went from that 25% that they offered to like 40% of it. And they were like, okay, cool. Like, we can meet you at 40%. And I was like, okay, fine. And I did the work. I remember I like, it was so hard because in the planning phase and in the executing phase, and I think even if you go and you compare that to everything else on my page, you can kind of see the difference in quality and you can see the difference in the amount of effort that went into it. And ultimately what that does is it reflects badly on my work. It affects badly on my ability to produce quality content and meet my clients' expectation, simply because I settled in a situation for less than what I believed I deserved. So it's very important that you sit with yourself, pray about it, and ask God, like, what are some realistic standards that I should be setting in terms of my friendships, my relationships, the person that I'll be partnering with for the rest of my life, my work, and life in general? And remember that it's not necessarily a matter of arrogance as much as it is you respecting yourself, respecting the gifts that God has given you, and ultimately taking care of yourself, because not being met at the standard that you've set, it takes a toll on your mental health. It takes a toll on your emotional well-being. And I'm going to give you an example really shortly, but I think it ties in so perfectly with the second tip that I wanted to share with you, which is remembering that you have the power to walk away. And understanding that walking away is opening yourself up to a possibility of endless opportunities, right? I think so often, especially when you're a perfectionist, walking away can feel very scary because you tend to look at the risks associated with walking away. And in the next episode, we'll talk about the idea of risk taking and how you can overcome that whole like, but what if I walk away and things like, what if I never find anything like that? And just to give you a funny, well, not funny, I'm not going to go into details, so it's not funny, but to give you a story of like my very first boyfriend. Guys, when I tell you my very first boyfriend was so fine. I mean, he's not finer than my current boyfriend. My current boyfriend is the most finest, most perfect man in the world. But at the time when I had my first boyfriend, I thought, this is like the finest man I could have ever pulled in my life. I thought, the way that he treats me, like, he is so intelligent. He is so well-spoken. He's such a strong and great leader. Like, if I leave him, because he's not meeting certain standards and certain issues that I personally felt like, no, man, like, I will, like, you need to meet me here, buddy. I was like, this is so difficult. And these, what I guess people would call red flags, are like so red and directly impact my emotional and mental well-being. But like, what if I walk away and I never find someone as fine as him? Like, what if I walk away and I never get to pull someone as fine as this guy? I never get the treatment that he's giving me. Like, he's giving me princess treatment. Like, he is doing everything right in the books of romance. But like, the red flags are really red, bro. Like, the red flags are really red. And I remember praying this prayer and saying, like, God, like, I really feel like as much as this person is a great catch, I am settling because there is a very big lack of fulfillment in this relationship. And I think just to even give you an idea of how much not having that standard and not setting standards impacts the course of your life, and allowing people to dictate how you move and the decisions that you make, all in the name of pleasing them, dictates your life, is that the relationship that I was in with this person, as much as he was perfect, I thought he was the finest man I'd ever seen and I would ever be able to pull in my life. The one thing he hated the most about me was the fact that I recorded stuff and I took pictures of stuff. And at the time, I only had like 1,000 followers on Instagram. I didn't even know influencers were a real thing. So I wasn't even thinking I want to be like a social media girl and I'm trying to do campaigns and all those things. That was not my thought. I just enjoyed capturing memories and posting them on social media, because social media used to be a communication tool for me and my friends. So that's literally how I got comfortable in front of the camera, speaking on Instagram stories. Like, to me, it's not a big deal, because I used to do that talking to my friends. I'd just be like, hey, Tommy, yo, let me tell you guys what happened today. And I'd go off on my Instagram stories, which was fine back then because it was just my friends. But can you imagine if I walked away from social media completely, which is what he wanted, and not put myself out there, not share my story, not share, you know, the ups and the downs of my life, the good parts and the bad parts, all in the name of helping the next person. Can you imagine how much different my life would be right now? Social media played a very big role in the success of my Miss South Africa journey. Social media played a very big role in me being able to acquire the things that I have, not just for myself, but for my family as well. Like, social media has been such a pivotal part of my life. If you've been following my journey from YouTube and Instagram, you would know, like, a big part of the big opportunities that God has given me and my gifts that God has given me coming alive came from social media. So can you imagine if in that moment I didn't take that power to say, I'm going to take the risk of walking away and trust that what God has for me on the other side exists. And I think in my second relationship, it was the same thing, like with my ex-boyfriend. I was like, these are the pros, these are the cons. If I walk away based off of these cons, not meeting certain standards and values that I believe God had kind of promised me, where will I find? Like, where will I find the pros again? Like, where will I find pros as good as these pros? And I think what I'm learning right now and in my current relationship is like, guys, those pros can be found again. I feel like this is becoming a relationship conversation. It's definitely turning into becoming the prize in the sense of relationships. And I really meant for it to be a life thing. But like I said right at the beginning, how you are in one area of your life is how you'll be in another area. So definitely take what I'm saying and apply it to think about it in a unilateral way. Is that a right word? Unilateral? Is it unilateral? I don't know. But think about it in a universal sense. Okay? Think about it as it relates to life as a whole. But like the kindness that I see in this man, the love for God that he has, the concern, the care, like the pros of my first boyfriend, because he's so fine. Oh, he is so fine. Like the pros of my second boyfriend, like the pros of every other relationship I've ever been in are definitely there, if not 10 times better. And I think even prior to getting into this current relationship, there were, how many dates did I go on? How many different people did I go on dates with? Oh my word. I probably went on dates with like 5 or 6 different people and took those dates very seriously. And what those 5 or 6 dates taught me is that there is an abundance of good people. Like there is an abundance of people with really great pros that I'm looking for. So it's not to say that setting a standard kind of eliminates the possibility of you finding what you're looking for, whether it be in friendships, whether it be in work, whether it be in life in general. But setting the standard means that you now go, yes, from having everyone as your selection pool to a small select group of people as your selection pool. But at least you know that in that small select group of people, your fulfillment and your complete happiness and mental health and emotional health and just complete freedom and fulfillment is there somewhere. And it's not to say that the current relationship I'm in is 100% perfect, although like I'll be the first to tell you it is. Like it 100% is, but obviously everything has flaws, everything has its like back, you know, I'm just losing my English here, but you get what I'm saying. Everything has its cons, everything has its flaws, but I definitely am not regretting walking away from any situation that I ever walked away from, simply because the rewards of honoring myself over pleasing someone, because even in that situation, if we go back to the concept of breaking up with someone who you really believe is great but doesn't necessarily honor you or honor your standards in certain areas of your life, it might be that that person feels like you're perfect and you're the perfect match. And even in speaking of my current boyfriend, where I'm like, he's like amazing. I think he's the best thing to ever happen in this world and on this earth. If I could buy his mom a house, just say thank you, I really would. But who's to say that that might not be the case on the other person's end? And so in a situation like this, where I feel like this is the best thing to ever happen to me, but I'm not meeting certain standards for him and I'm not necessarily coming to the party when it comes to certain things that he's not willing to compromise on and deal breakers for him, then it would be in his best interest to not people please and walk away from that relationship. So don't be afraid to walk away. And if you are, I'm going to tell you something, a small story about Oprah. You know Oprah Winfrey? Oprah Winfrey, the one who has the school in Africa, the one who has the money on money on money, the most successful talk show host ever in the world that everyone aspires to reach the level of excellence and success. Do you know that Oprah once had a job where they were telling her that she needs to be more like someone else and that what she was doing was not good enough? And Oprah back then, being a people pleaser, this is a quote from an article. Literally, she says, "I was working on pulling myself down and flattening out my personality, which for me is actually not such a good thing." And close quote. So she actively would work every day. And I think the lady's name was Barbara, if I'm not mistaken, because I also watched another interview with Oprah where she was like, they were telling her to be more like Barbara. And I found it so funny. And Barbara would say this, and she would always ask herself, like, what would Barbara say? What would Barbara do? But do you see how now Barbara becomes the main character of Oprah's life, and Oprah no longer is being the main character of her life, to the extreme point where they asked her to change her name because Oprah Winfrey is just not a memorable name. Right now, if you say Oprah Winfrey, I'm pretty sure everyone in every corner of the world knows who Oprah Winfrey is. Why do I keep saying Winfrey? Yo, Oprah Winfrey is. But it took her being able to see the mismatch between her true self, her personality, and who she knew she was and who God called her to be, and then the culture and demands of the job and what it was asking her to do, what it was asking her to sacrifice. And she walked away to now build an empire that we know to be like the most illustrious career that anyone could ever ask for. But it all boils down to step number three, which is honoring your authenticity and not compromising your authenticity for the sake of pleasing others or conforming to societal expectations. Staying true to yourself will always bring you peace. Staying true to yourself will always bring you fulfillment. It's not to say that staying true to yourself will be an easy road and it's not a difficult path to take, because it definitely is. Saying no to people is hard. Like putting your foot down and saying, this is what I believe, and standing by your decision, whether you succeed or fail in the eyes of other people, that's hard. But it's so important that you stay loyal to your beliefs and your principles and the call of God on your life, even in those challenging situations. And again, using myself as an example, when I go on social media and ask people like, hey, or even if I don't ask people, like people will voluntarily say, I kid you not, go on any one of my Instagram reels where I am speaking or like I'm just talking or sharing something or like just being myself. People in the comment section, there definitely is one person on that reel talking about, I love your energy. I love your authenticity. I love how you just are this person. And I think when it comes to everything that I've done in my life in terms of my career and the successes that I've achieved, they've all come down to me being authentic to myself. I think that's the one thing that people love about me. And that's the reason why I started Boldly Becoming, is because a question that I get, no matter where I am in the world, is how are you so confident? Like, how do you consistently show up as yourself without being scared of what people think about you or what they're gonna say? Like, how do you stay true to yourself so consistently, Barbara? And I think the idea that I'm not afraid of what people are going to think is definitely false. The idea that I walk into spaces and I just automatically am not caring about what people are saying. Are they looking at my dress? Do they think it's weird? That's not true. Like, it's not true. I don't think fear ever leaves the picture, because like I said at the beginning of the episode, it's scientifically proven that belonging is a primal need of human beings. Everyone wants to feel accepted. Everyone wants to feel like they belong. But there is a very big difference between feeling like you belong somewhere and fitting into a place. Because if you fit in somewhere, you might not belong. Like, you can take a circle and put it in a square. Does it fit in? Yes. But does a circle belong in a square puzzle hole? It doesn't. A circle puzzle belongs in a circle hole. A square puzzle belongs in a square hole. That's where it will fully encompass everything that it was called to be. A circle in a square peg will never fully encompass those square corners. It might fit in. It might seem like it's in the right position, but it definitely does not belong there. And I feel a young word in this, in the sense that a circle in a square peg will always be playing small in order to fit in. It will always have to play smaller than it actually is in order to fit in the diameter or the breadth of the square. And the same goes for a square peg inner circle hole is that, first of all, it's going to cause a lot of hurt. Have you ever tried to fit a square into a circle? Even if the diameter of the circle fits the breadth of the square, just the friction of that square going in that hole and then the struggle to get it out of there, like this, yo, the pasta in me is coming out. I'm joking, but I can really see how that on its own is such a spiritual representation of what happens when we try to force ourselves into spaces that God hasn't called us to be in for the sake of fitting in somewhere. We either play small or we hurt people in the process. And even if we realize that, okay, I'm fitting in and I'm not in the correct position, just the pain of undoing all of that, is it worth it? And so for myself, practicing never betraying myself and honoring my authenticity in challenging situations looks like being mindful of myself. I think therapy played a very big role in building my self-awareness and reading a lot of self-help books, reading a lot of psychology books, understanding how the human mind works, understanding how human emotions work. And in understanding all of those things, it helps me also have a better relationship with myself in the sense that I don't beat myself up for feeling certain ways. I have compassion with myself. I'm patient with myself. I'm kind to myself because I understand that if I said 2 years ago, I'm never going to people please again, and today I do something all in the name of people pleasing in a moment, I understand that it's my primal need to belong somewhere and I wanted to feel accepted in the moment, and that's why I compromised myself. So it's more about then reflecting on that and having the self-awareness to say, okay, Bob, the reason you did this was A, B, C. How do we prevent ourselves from succumbing to peer pressure or succumbing to being accepted by a group of people and fitting in rather than belonging? And that comes from having a therapist who is trained in the art of psychology and has been gifted in that area to speak into your life and help you uncover those blind spots that you might not necessarily be aware of. And I think while listening to this podcast is part of the whole like self-help and like listen to perspectives of other people, all that kinds of stuff, at the end of the day, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a therapist. I'm not licensed to do anything or tell you how to live your life. And so therapy will always be my number one recommendation when it comes to anything. And then along with therapy and self-awareness, I practice stillness and mindfulness. So sometimes I'll be driving from home to school and it takes like an hour to 2 hours on a rainy day where there's load shedding and the traffic lights are not working, but also everyone is driving slow because the roads are wet. I'll turn off the radio. I'll turn off the radio during traffic just because I want to listen to my thoughts. I am practicing stillness and I'm practicing sifting through my emotions. So in the quiet times like that, I'd be going through my head and my heart and asking myself those important questions of, why do you feel this way? Something upset you this morning, or your mom said something to you that doesn't sit well. Why does it not sit well with you? Is it because she was right and your arrogance and ego is not allowing you to kind of submit yourself to the idea that someone outside of you is right? Or did it hurt you because of the tone that she used and the communication? So maybe you're able to accept the fact that she's right, but the way that it was communicated wasn't conducive to progression in the relationship and whatever the issue at hand was. So practicing stillness and mindfulness, facing my fears, facing my emotions, facing my thoughts and true opinions on issues helps in the idea of setting my standards, walking away and honoring my authenticity. Wow, authenticity. And then lastly, my community of friends who ground me. I think diving into the world of growing and glowing and, you know, self-help books and therapy and all these things, we as Gen Z and Gen X, we are very self-aware in the sense that we are willing to say sorry when we are wrong. We are really willing to acknowledge our wrongs and move forward from them. We're committed to being better versions of ourselves. And that's why you're still listening to this podcast, because you're very committed to being a better version of yourself. High five to you, first of all. Let's high five. Take your hand. Take your other hand. High five yourself right now, because you are committed to being a better person, being a better version of yourself, not just for yourself, but for the people around you, because you understand how you being the best version of yourself affects your family and the people around you. But even in that growing and glowing, sometimes I need my community of friends who ground me to remind me of who I truly am. Because even in the pursuit of being self-aware and becoming a better version of yourself, you can find yourself running towards an ideal version of what a healed and whole person should be, because all the self-help books are talking about a ideal person and point you to this ideal person. But that person strips you completely of your identity and your personality and who God has called you to be. So having a community of friends who will always remind you and ground you and say, hey, like, yes, you are killing this boss babe thing, Barbara. Yes, you are bagging all of these campaigns, Miss SA, all these different things. But never forget who you are. Never forget why you started. Never forget the why behind everything that you do. And I think those people help me not to betray myself in the sense that I get so caught up in this ladder of growth and self-help that I completely lose the essence of who God made me to be. And so take it easy on yourself. Be kind to yourself. Acknowledge the fact that growth takes time, you know. Growth takes time and effort. It's something that doesn't happen overnight. And so if you get it wrong, it's okay. Be kind to yourself. You know, it's an ongoing journey. We are continually evolving. It's something that we work on every single day. So don't be too hard on yourself and don't rush yourself to get to the finish point. No one ever gets to the finish point. You might be catching that person on their best day. You might be catching that person on their good day. And that's why it looks like they have it all together. But trust me, everybody is figuring it out. So don't be afraid to change your mind as well. Constantly relook at your standards. Bring them to God. Involve God in the process and ask Him to guide you. Because ultimately, myself, your therapist, your community of friends, your pastors, your leaders, we're all human beings. And human beings have flaws. Human beings have their own biases. Human beings have limited understanding to who you are and who you were created to be. And ultimately, the only person who will ever be able to remind you of your worth, of you being the prize and what you should and should not settle for, is God. The God who has called you to have dominion, right? To subdue, to multiply. You were made in the image of God, the most powerful. Bona, like, I don't want to say being in the universe, the most highest power to ever be. You were created in His image. And so two things resonate with me when I think about the fact that I was created in the image of God, is that my potential is limitless. The ability to do things is uncapped. And anything that I speak, set my mind to, I definitely can achieve, because my God can achieve everything that He speaks and sets His mind to. That's number one. And number two, being made in the image of God for me reminds me that because I hold God in such high regard and in such high esteem, I ought to do the same for myself, because I am a creation of God. And so if God says I am His image, and if God says I am a reflection of who I am, me living a life that is inauthentic to myself, dishonors myself, and ultimately pleases everyone else around me but myself, then I am not honoring God in the trust that He has placed in me by making me in His image. Because I hold God in high esteem, I should hold myself in high esteem. And everyone who's in my life and around me should be able to respect me at the same level that I respect myself. Heck, it's a commandment. It's one of the commandments. So go out there and be great. Take it easy on yourself. Be kind to yourself. And remember that you've got this. Because God's got you. And I'm rooting for you. Washa.